Hi, this is Dr. Anthony Fauci, and I wanted to say thank you to the Radio Labyrinth producers. Those are the people who are the top tier donators to the Patreon page of Radio Labyrinth at www.patreon.com/Tim Andrews. Now, without further ado, here are the people that produce Radio Labyrinth each and every week. Tim Slayton, Brett Perkins, Mike Hall, Chad Shepard, Andrew Hopkins, Sean Hall, Roby Neely, Keith Tate, Todd Ellis, Brian Smith, Mike D, Matt Carter, John Sutherland, and Eric Malmstrom. Thank you all so very much.
You're probably going to hear some dogs barking. Hey, everybody, welcome to Radio Labyrinth, the Gen X pop culture podcast that covers any and all things movies, TV, radio, podcasts, as long as we like them. I'm your host, Tim Andrews, a regional semi-famous Atlanta radio personality, and these are my co-hosts today, Jeff Leboff and Ira Malkin. Hello.
Hey.
In case you couldn't see that, I was pretending to fillet the microphone.
Photoshop work on that.
No Steph this week. She's got shit going on, as I'm sure a lot of us do in this era, this new era that we live in. Trying to find a text from, there we go, I found it. Very important text.
Did you ever get your haircut?
No, I'm getting my haircut in June 10th. I'm also getting a camera shoved up my ass and down my throat the first week of June as well.
And you're doing double penetration, huh?
Yeah, and before I get that done, I have to have a COVID test done, the one in the nose, because they won't do the procedure until you've had the COVID test.
Oh, all right. Well, that sounds like a wonderful week for you.
Yeah,
I can't. Me and Ira to finger cuffs you?
One Ira to what?
Me and Ira can finger cuffs you right before you get your...
What does that mean?
One in the mouth, one in the butt.
Oh. the modern term for that is spit roast.
Is it?
Yeah, spit roast.
Yeah. I see everybody's audio was fantastic as usual. So that's what's coming on. Other than that, the reason the show is late, otherwise, the show was late because of Memorial Day, but also I had a bunch of storms hit. We just sat right over. I don't know if you guys have had this, but we've had these storms lately that just sit right over your town and pour rain and then disappear. And we had one the other night. And
a lot of damage?
Huh?
You had a lot of damage?
Yeah, we had quite a bit. Not like costly damage, but a lot of yard damage, and we had plants and shit that got ruined by hail. You put a lot of effort into those victory gardens we got going on.
Oh, yeah. What's with the victory gardens? You're growing tomatoes and potatoes and shit?
No, we're going to live on lettuce for the rest of our life. And Swiss chard.
Can be wedge salads for America.
Yeah. So really not much of anything. I'm going to travel to North Carolina this week to go see family because I'm on vacation from my job and board. Yeah.
I saw Mark Arum said he was on today for Eric Van Hessler. Does that mean you're off too?
Yeah, he's filling in all week. We're on vacation the whole week, the whole show.
It's look at you, vacation. You got quarantine and vacation. Like perfect vacation here. It's like an Aerosmith album.
It's amazing. How is it like an Aerosmith album?
Permanent vacation.
Oh. Well, hopefully we'll go back to work soon. I want to read a live sponsor ad, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I mind.
You mind?
Yeah.
We'll shut.
Mike Hall from Atlanta Pizza and Euro wants you to know that they are open for dine-in services with limited seating with required precautions. They are practicing 6-foot social distancing wherever possible. They sanitize the tables between customers, which is good if people like Ira and Jeff go. And they provide single-use condiments such as salt and pepper and ketchup packets. They also are still offering takeout and curbside for those who prefer it, but you don't have to pay ahead of time anymore. So you can just go ahead and visit their website, Atlanta Pizza Gyro. That's AtlantaPizzaGYRO.com to order online for pickup or delivery. And Mike says he wants to thank everyone who's been supportive through these COVID times, the tough times for the restaurant industry and many other industries.
Mike is really doing it right, man. I mean, he's really taking this seriously, but doing it seriously well. And he's taking advantage of being able to open and doing it right. So, you know, go out there,
Yeah, and Georgia hasn't been as strict as a lot of the other states have. Certainly, we eased out of the quarantine a little earlier than other states have, and we're still waiting because everybody keeps saying in 2 weeks everyone's going to die. So we're waiting to find out what's going to happen there.
But, you know, he doesn't do like the single serving stuff and everything, but, you know, he's putting a lot of money into making everybody feel welcome there and feel safe. So, yeah, you know, that's good for Mike. And, you know, another thing about his food is you go to that place and the pizzas, the food that they have there, it's one of those things where you're like craving it all week.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, you go, God, I got to go back to that place and I got to get that one thing that I like.
The one time when Jeff and I went out there a couple of weeks ago, I got a small pizza for myself. And I'm glad I did that because if I had ordered the medium, I would have eaten the medium in one day instead of the small.
Because you finished it. Got back.
I had a gyro. And I want to get a pizza that next time we go.
Yeah. Well, Jeff, tell us, I saw on the we have a show document that we put out every week, and we're trying to make some changes to the show, or at least I am, and forcing these guys to acquiesce to my demands. But they're pretty simple. But
fire me. Big change. I'm getting fired.
No one's getting fired. It's just we're trying to do segmented stuff a little bit.
I was transitioning.
He is.
I told you.
What's your new name going to be?
Oh, it's going to be Irina.
Irina. I like Irina. You're going to go with Ida, are you?
No. Named after an Ida, but that's how we do it in the Jewish families. We name ourselves after dead relatives.
Speaking of Jewish families, we're going to get to this in a little while, but I'm reading that Woody Allen book that you recommended.
Are you reading it? Are you reading it? Or are you listening to the audiobook?
I call it reading, but I'm listening to the audiobook. He's narrating it.
Yeah. So how far in are you?
Oh, let's see. I'm about 5-6 hours in. It's enjoyable. We'll get to it later in the show.
Okay.
But what else did I want to say? Oh, Jeff, you got ripped off by Bare Naked. Are you mad at Bare Naked Ladies? I saw this. You went fucking nuts on Bare Naked Ladies on social media. And I want to know what happened because they're like your favorite band of all time.
Yeah.
They were.
Well, what happened?
Well, they had that tour that's coming up at Chastain Park. It was supposed to be on June 4th.
Yeah.
It was with Gin Blossoms and Toad the Wet Sprocket and Bare Naked Ladies. And since this whole thing's been happening, they had no news. And in the meantime, Dead & Company canceled their tour. And we got a refund for those tickets that we had bought.
Right.
So we got all our money back for that. And so I said, I hope Bare Naked Ladies does the right thing and cancels this tour. They don't postpone it. Or, you know, postpone it indefinitely with no dates so we can't get a refund. So they postponed it, but they had new dates for next year. It's basically going to be a year from now.
But the same show, same venues, right?
Same show, same venue, same lineup.
That's what Fish is doing. But Fish gave you time to cancel if you wanted to, but go ahead.
Right, and you're supposed to be able to cancel, and that was my whole point, and that was why I flipped out. The day they postponed the thing, I was like, I'd like to get this money back. You know, who knows what's going to happen in a year. I got a couple $100 tied up in these tickets. I want my money back. So I called Ticketmaster the day that they postponed the tour, and I sat on hold on Ticketmaster for like 3.5 hours, literally. Luckily, I was at work and there was nothing going on, but
3.5 hours?
3.5 hours I was on hold.
Jeez.
And some of that time I'm talking to people. But anyway, they keep telling me since it's postponed, I can't get a refund. So I'm like, I'm being told if it's postponed, you have 30 days to get a refund. And they said, no, sorry, since it's postponed and they have new dates, you can't get a refund. So literally after 3.5 hours, I was super pissed.
No doubt.
And said, you know, fuck Bare Naked Ladies. Why are they doing this? They should just cancel this damn tour. And then.
Do you think it's coming from the top, or is this just like.
Not. And it's just Ticketmaster being fucking idiots. Because the next day you could get a refund. The day after.
Right.
So I had 3.5 hours on hold for nothing. And was told a bunch of bullshit information that I couldn't get a refund.
So it's Live Nation. It's Live Nation. Is that the promoter?
Yeah, Live Nation and Ticketmaster.
Yeah.
So the next day I got a refund and all's good. And I apologize to Barenaked Ladies, but I'm still pissed off at them.
Yeah, apologize to your boss for paying you for being on hold for fucking 3 hours.
Oh, I mean, it's not like I wasn't working at the same time. I just had my phone sitting next to me with hold music playing, you know?
That's the best place to be on hold with a company is when you're at work, if you're working in an office, because you just leave it on and continue doing your work. And
that's what I did. I just sat there and did my work and listened to the fucking hold music. But yes, I was just so pissed. I'm like 3.5 hours. And it's like 3 or 4 different people told me that I couldn't get a refund. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe they had enough flip out like you did, and they said, all right, we better change this shit.
Maybe.
Ira, are you any closer to hearing about getting back to playing a gig? Because you do that.
Yeah, no. Well, no. I mean, I haven't. I haven't really inquired about it, but I've seen some friends online that are playing gigs, not in Atlanta, really, but maybe on the outskirts, you know, outside the perimeter.
Yeah.
I feel like Wild Wing Cafe, there's a bunch of bands I know that would play there, and I feel like they're doing gigs. And then I saw another friend of mine doing a gig in Columbus, Georgia, like full-on bar gig. So I guess I haven't seen it myself and I haven't inquired about it, but I guess it's going on.
People are taking it in their own hands. Huh?
Is John Mark playing any gigs?
I don't think so.
John Mark Lindell, who did our theme song.
Yeah.
Well, he does a lot of private parties, so I don't know how that's going to be affected either.
Yeah. That's what I was wondering. If anybody heard if he was still doing any of those.
As long as he doesn't unleash his dog in Piedmont Park when a bird watcher is walking by.
What was that?
It's all these things on
lady.
The Karen phenomenon where people are ratting on each other or tattling or calling the police. And then there's a race element always involved because one person might be white or black. What?
She got her dog taken away from her.
She got her dog taken away from her and she got fired because. Well, okay. So she'd been fired. I found out a few minutes ago.
I got fired.
So, Ira, in New York City, there's this viral video going around. Her lady is in a park. And she has her dog off the leash and it's in this place called the Bramble of Central Park. And there is a gentleman walking through who is a bird watcher and he notices that her dog is unleashed. So he takes it upon himself to be dog leash policeman and starts scolding her out while he's recording her. She gets all frustrated and angry. He keeps, by the way, this guy's keeping treats in his pocket, which he lays out as being something that he does all the time for unruly dogs. He always keeps dog treats in his pocket. So he has the dog treats. Calling the dog over. The lady's freaking out. She doesn't know the guy. She grabs the dog by the collar and chokes the thing. And so, no, it gets better than that. So she starts being a bitch and says, I'm going to call 911 and tell them that an African-American man is trying to attack me. Implying that if they come, they'll shoot him.
She's trying to weaponize the cops against this dude.
Right. So, I mean, it's just douchebag on douchebag. But, of course, once this goes viral on the news or on Twitter, everyone starts doxing this woman. They find her LinkedIn. They find her Facebook. They start harassing her place of work. They find these other posts and insinuate that she's maltreating her dog. So she loses everything in one day just by being a nut. But both of them are crazy. I mean, he should have minded his own business. Yeah. And she should have not been a racist piece of crap.
Man, I know you catch anybody in their natural state and it's going to be problems, you know,
but it's the thing of everybody having a camera. Like Memorial Day was Monday. And of course all the major news outlets, you know, were sending their reporters out to cover places where people weren't wearing masks. You guys know who Katie Tur is on MSNBC?
No,
I only know her 'cause she's a fish fan, but anyway, She was having some reporter was doing some report and he's like, no one's wearing masks. And we're going to have to, you know, the implications for this. And like, oh man, it's good. I don't know what's going to happen. So while he's doing that, there's a guy in an Eagle shirt walking around with a camera and he goes, yeah, no one's wearing masks, including your cameraman.
Oh.
And the reporter just, you can see him just when he, you know, there's a subreddit, people dying inside. You could just see him going, yeah, no, we're not either. And he goes, Katie. Striking images from maskless society. So who the fuck knows?
That's good stuff, though, man. I mean, in a way, it's fucked up that we're all recording everything. But stuff like, all right, let's call out the bullshit too. You know,
I don't know. I walk through the grocery store, and Publix has the best. I don't know. They have the best layout. You know, you can snake around through the aisles, and even though it's a pain in the ass, I follow along And people don't do it. People are walking down with their kids. No, I don't care about the masks. I wear mine just because whatever. But when they're coming down the wrong way, and my dad told me, he says stuff to him, like, Dad, you're going to get stabbed or something. Don't say things to people. I want to, but I don't want to be a Karen, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I had the other thing today where I went and talked to some woman, and I was wearing my mask because I was going into a public place, but it was just like this office I was going into. And this older woman, you know, and I started talking, and she's kind of pretending that she can't hear me. She could definitely hear what I was saying. And she's like, huh? I'm like, ah, blah, 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 blah. I'm trying to talk. It's definitely, it wasn't loud in there. She could hear everything. She's like, huh? I can't hear you. And I took off the mask. And as soon as I stood far away from her. As soon as I took it off, she let out like this little, huh, yeah, we got that, you know, or something. And then she answered me. She's just trying to get me to drop my mask.
Right, right.
She went. And I see all these people wearing the mask just on their mouth, not on their nose.
Not like, on
their nose. Why even bother?
There's no top down directive from the government. I mean, early on they said don't wear masks. Then Fauci said wear masks, and now he's saying, well, don't wear masks. And some states are saying wear masks, and whatever. Who gives a shit?
I'm half doing it because I think it's the right thing to do, but I'm also half doing it because I don't want to be judged. And you know, we're in this like judgment. You're going to be judged either way, no matter what you do.
Right. And I've been called a pussy before, so I can handle that better than I can handle crazy people worried about getting sick.
Yeah, I'm just going to keep doing it. I might just do it for the fucking rest of my life with the masks. Fuck it.
You still have a mask, Jeff?
Yeah, that one you gave me.
You wear it out?
I wear it when I go in the store and stuff.
We got Radio Labyrinth masks.
Yeah, well, oh, speaking of which, we do have Radio Labyrinth masks, and you can find a link to that on our Facebook page. I want to thank our buddy Rob Turner, who purchased a couple of them, actually. He says the ladies give him looks, but I think it's because of his long flowing locks. Let's see, who else bought one? Eric Malmstrom has one, so thank you for that. And I wanted to welcome a brand new Patreon supporter. His name is Brandon Pilcher. And if you guys want to join, you can just go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews. And sign up.
Hey there, radios. It's Dean from Mike TV. I know it's been a little bit of a while, but Lisa and I have been taking a bit of a summer break, but we are coming back soon with episode 50 of Mike TV in the beginning of June. That's right, an all new format, as we are going to take a little bit of a break from deep diving into a specific show and getting a little bit more generic with our TV coverage. Segments like TV news, what we're watching, retro deep dives, fantastic cast, pitch and dive, and maybe a little bit more. So join us at Mike TV. We hope to see you there. And remember to always keep it thorough.
I wanted to give a quick shout out to one of our very important sponsors. That's LDI Repro Printing of Athens. They are there for all of your construction printing, whether they are commercial or residential. They've been in Athens since 2005. That's Athens, Georgia, not Athens, Greece. And with fast turnaround and low prices, they are an essential business because construction still going on. Call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com. That's athens@ldiline.com. Thanks a lot, Brett. Oh, God. So this past Monday was Memorial Day, and I thought in these abbreviated shows that we've been doing, I wanted to rattle off a couple of our favorite military TV or TV shows or movies. Is that okay with you guys?
Yeah, I do that.
Mine are pretty simple. Full Metal Jacket, Stripes. Well, yeah, Full Metal Jacket isn't even really a war movie. It's just some morality tale wrapped into a war movie, but it's Cuba.
A lot of war movies are. They're just kind of psychological fuck-up movies, you know?
Right. And you have a lot of great people. You have Matthew Modine and I forget his name, Arlie Ermey. That's not who I was thinking. And then of course you have Adam Baldwin, one of Jeff's favorites. What show was he on that you really liked, Jeff?
He was on Chuck.
Chuck. Wasn't he on a science fiction show too?
He was on that Last Ship.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, Adam Baldwin, interesting cat. But Full Metal Jacket's really two different movies. It's like the beginning is basic training, and then the second part is Vietnam, but it was all shot in England with imported imported palm trees because Kubrick never liked to
Really? That's interesting.
I only know that my first ever paper for a college class was in the summer of 1988, and I wrote it about Vietnam War movies. That was mine. So that's what I know. And I have a good memory. The next one is Saving Private Ryan, a good World War II movie with a great cast. Just a very well done film. You can't go wrong. Spielberg, Hanks.
Nobody talks about it, but it is fucking amazing. The D-Day scene.
Oh, yeah. The beginning?
Yeah. The beach scene.
Saving Ryan's Privates.
Saving Ryan's Privates is also a good movie.
Yeah, I've heard. When you said Stripes, which...
It's bloody at the beginning.
What?
I said it's just as bloody at the beginning. What I...
Well, you mentioned Stripes, right? That was going to be that's your other choice?
Yeah, because I like to laugh.
I know, and it's a great movie. However, just like what you said about Full Metal Jacket, that's like two movies as well, because it's great all the way. And then when they go to do their mission, you know, with the truck and everything, it's like a completely different movie. Like a
separate movie.
Yeah, it's a silly farcical thing going on with them in Czechoslovakia.
Yeah, it's totally ridiculous with that part, but the whole beginning of the movie is fucking classic.
Oh yeah,
you know, razzle dazzle, and that's the fact, Jack. I mean, that's classic shit.
What kind of training? Army training, sir.
So I swallowed my pride and a couple of pizzas.
I'm Dewey Oxberger, but my friends call me Ox.
Let me say, as you might know, and I might have a little weight problem. No.
I know, the Harold Ramis, just the looks that he gives other people are talking. That's funny. Funny.
Well, he's smirking through the whole movie. You know?
Yes. Yeah.
It's I love it. It's so good.
Are either of you two homosexuals? You mean like flaming? get away with that now.
But we're willing to learn.
We're willing to learn. Uncle Hulka.
Oh man.
I like the beginning when he's like, I don't think I want to take you or your bags to the airport.
That old lady.
He just throws her shit out on the bridge.
Maybe I had too much cough syrup this morning. Yeah. How about you, Ira?
I put, did you guys ever watch Generation Kill on HBO?
Yes.
That was good.
Yeah.
It was really good. And so it was done by David Simon and, who's the other guy? David Simon, and you know, who did The Wire,
right?
Did Plot Against America, which we just watched, and Tremé, and all that great shit. And it was, I think, it was a short series. Maybe it was only like 8 to 10 episodes, and that was it. Is that right?
Yeah. Is it about Fallujah, or is it about before Fallujah? No,
I think it was Desert Storm 1.
No, it was the second one.
It was the second one. Okay. Well, and that leads me to another story I had. It was done very well. It was without Alexander Skarsgård. And just a very real, you know, being overseas and fighting. It just seemed very real to me. But, you know, I've never done that, so I don't know what it's like. But then I remember we went and visited some friends of ours right around when that was on, or it had just finished. And the guy that we knew was just back from Afghanistan. And we were just talking about TV and movies. And I brought it up with him. I said, by the way, have you watched Generation Kill? And he said, yeah, I have. And he had been out there just like those guys. And I said, so how realistic is that? And he goes, listen, man, he goes, out of all the TV and movies that, you know, have represented what it's like out there in Afghanistan and Iraq for Desert Storm, he goes, that is the one that just nailed it to a T. Because that is exactly what it's like out there. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Generation. Good job, those guys. The Wire guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and then I put, all right, so this is controversial, but I put Jacob's Ladder on there.
Okay. I don't think it's controversial because that is a Vietnam movie in retrospect, right?
It is. I mean, it's mostly, it feels like it's taking place back in New York at home, but really, you find out at the end of the movie, the whole thing is taking place in Vietnam, right?
Right.
Spoiler alert. But it's, it's essentially a fucked up military movie where they did experiments on this one platoon to try to get them to be, you know, more vicious fighters, and they ended up fucking each other up. And well, anyway, I put that as a war movie. And then what did I put last?
Macaulay Culkin in that?
Who?
Macaulay Culkin, is he in that?
Yes. Yeah. He's his son.
That's right. Jeff and I saw that at the movie theater when it came out, but I haven't ever seen it after that.
Yeah. And Jason Alexander.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was at the jerk store in the movie. And then what did I put last?
Das Boot.
Oh, yeah. I put Das Boot. I hadn't thought about that movie in a while, but that was good. It's a German film, right?
Yeah. It's about a U-boat.
Yeah. All these guys on a U-boat, and it's, I don't know, I guess it's not supposed to be really political or anything. It's just about the journey of these guys in a submarine that's that they have issues with.
Is it World War One or Two?
Thinking World War One.
Yeah, so they're not Nazis then.
I don't think so. Well, anyway, and then they did the series. They did a Das Boot series on Hulu that I think was pretty good too that I didn't get to see, but I heard it was good.
Cool.
Well, anyway.
Jeff?
I did Red Dawn, the original, not the remake.
Oh, so yeah. Good.
It is a great movie.
I know.
I just watched it. I think it was on over the weekend. I watched most of it.
Don't cry!
Hey, boys.
And I put Apocalypse Now.
Great film. Great film. Yeah.
And I put MASH.
The show or the movie?
The movie, MASH.
The movie.
The show was probably better, though. If we're doing shows, also.
The movie was great, but the show certainly was endearing. Lasted.
And the book. The book's really good.
Really? I didn't know there was a book.
Yeah.
Look at you. You're a movie and
show are based on the book.
See, we didn't have a VCR when they aired the final episode of MASH, Goodbye, Farewell, Amen. So I recorded it on a cassette recorder, and I would listen to it over and over again. So I have a lot of parts of it memorized.
Really?
Yeah. My favorite part at the time, not now, but my favorite part at the time was when Charles was teaching the North Koreans Mozart. Well, actually, they already knew it, but he was conducting them.
Right.
It wasn't a chicken.
It was a baby, you son of a bitch. Well, that was good.
Yeah. So watch those.
All right, guys. You excited for The Mandalorian? You want to talk about The Mandalorian for a minute?
Yeah, when is it coming out?
Yeah.
All right, so the latest rumor... Go ahead. What?
It's in October.
Yeah, October 2020. That is when it's supposed to return to Disney+. Some rumors from sci-fi.com. Timothy Oliphant will be wearing Boba Fett's armor, but he will not be Boba Fett. So that...
What's that?
Well... there's speculation that his character is from the expanded universe. His name is Cobb Vanth, and he's a Chuck Wendig character. You guys familiar with Chuck Wendig?
I know.
The guy with the beard that always has a big open mouth, talks about Star Wars, and he's a real nerd.
Big open mouth.
Well, he's one of those guys with the beards that's always taking a picture with like a toy and making that face, that startled face.
All right.
But I don't want to make fun of him. He's a huge Star Wars fan, and I guess this is a character that anyway he was the Law and Order guy like Timothy Oliphant would play, Law and Order guy who took over after the destruction of the Hutts and the fall of the Empire on Tatooine, and so
he found Jabba's armor, or he found Boba Fett's armor.
He bought it off of Jawas, who found it.
Right. Okay.
At the asshole of the Sarlacc.
Right.
Oh, yeah, the big gaping asshole.
But then they're talking, like, is Boba Fett alive?
What they're saying, because there's talk that the actor that played Boba Fett is going to be in The Mandalorian season 2.
Right. Well.
Remind me again when the timeline is for The Mandalorian.
It's after.
What?
After Return of the Jedi.
Yeah. It's before The Force Awakens, right?
I think so, yeah. Because the First Order hasn't started yet in The Mandalorian, right?
Right.
I think it's supposed to be soon after Return of the Jedi, isn't it?
Yeah, not too long after, no.
Right, so in that case, this all could be true and viable.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's...
It's Jon Favreau's Star Wars, which is leaps and bounds better than Kathleen Kennedy's Star Wars.
Dave Forlani.
Even Lucas loves it.
Yeah.
And apparently there's rumors that he hates all the modern films. And in fact, there is a rumor that there is a George Lucas cut of The Rise of Skywalker.
What? How would he do that? What, he just edited
it? They let him do it. They let him do it. And so there's a rumor that there's a cut of that. And I would love to see that.
Footage. It's not like he could completely change it. I guess.
They gave him the footage to do the editing. Huh. I mean, it's just a rumor, so.
I guess, but I mean, if they shot all that stuff, it would still have to be kind of the, everything that happened would still kind of have to happen.
Right. Well, and it is what it is. I can't wait. We'll find out in October, and I'm sure there'll be speculation. And whenever that first trailer comes out, we'll be talking about
it. Watch that gallery show on Disney Plus, man. So good.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do that. I think I'll binge it all in like a couple of days.
Well, that was going to be my show that I was going to pick to watch. So can we talk about it anyway?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Tim, is that even though you haven't seen it? Well, all right, I'll say this. It's great because it's Jon Favreau and they get all the directors together. We've talked about this already, but specifically, I wanted to talk about episode 4, which just was released last week.
Yeah, go ahead.
Did you watch that one, Jeff?
I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Listen, I'll just say this. 4 blew me away because it was about the technology and how they shoot everything. Right. And you probably know that they did some pretty revolutionary stuff with how they've been shooting The Mandalorian, which is, you know, they're using big LED screens.
Right.
So when they're doing all the acting and they're doing everything, it's almost like they're in the scene because these screens are so big and the ceiling is, it's like they're shooting in a planetarium, you know?
Right.
It's almost like they're there.
So it's not a green screen. It's an actual LED scene with something projected behind them.
Exactly. Right. So if there's multiple actors in a scene, they're all reacting to the same thing together because they're all seeing it, you know, for real. Awesome. And the light, even the light that's being cast on the actors is coming from the LED screens. So it's almost like there, you know. So that's crazy. And then what's even more mind-boggling to me is the way they're shooting it. It's using VR technology in the camera. So if the camera moves, the background moves in conjunction with the camera.
Right.
Like on the LED screens, so they don't have to do these big set on it's fun. You just watch it. I was like, holy shit, this is amazing.
Yeah, I'll get started on that.
Yeah,
this I mean, the future filmmaking. Like
the other ones, watch 4, you know?
Yeah,
so I'm good with what I watched. I'm done.
Oh, the dogs we're happy to hear that they are all barking right now.
I can't hear them. Yeah, I have this annoying voice, and the dogs can hear it, and they're reacting to it.
Jeff, you have what's up with your audio?
Oh, you can't hear me?
Nah, but you're dithering a lot.
I hear you dithering a lot.
Really?
You guys stop dithering each other, please, for 1 second?
Well, before we get to Ask Us Anything, because we have some questions this week, 2 last bits of just minutia news or whatever. Rest in peace to actor Ken Osmond. He died a little over a week ago. He was 76 years old, and most people know him from his, you know, pretty much only role ever, Eddie Haskell on Leave It to Beaver.
Yeah.
Passed away. He was also a decorated policeman in Los Angeles.
Did you just meet Wally and the Beef?
No, Wally wouldn't do it. And this is going back to 1997. We were doing my old company. We were doing a custom a television commercial campaign for Kiss FM in Los Angeles. So we flew out there, and they had this concept where weird looking older people would hold up CDs and read the lyrics to pop songs. And they were pretty funny. So you saw it the 50th, 60th time. So we reached out to a bunch of classical actors from, you know, classic TV era. All of them said no. We reached out to Leave It to Beaver, and their people said, Jerry Mathers is interested in doing this. Tony Dowd doesn't want to do it. Should we reach out to Ken Osmond? And, you know, my boss didn't know who that was. I said, yeah, he'll be better than Tony Dowd. So that's who we ended up getting. We did all the casting, and we went out. We did a bunch of different locations in L.A., and we were supposed to wrap in Malibu with those two, Jerry Mathers, who's the Beaver, and Ken Osmond. So we get out there, and the producer had given them the wrong location. So they are going to be parking at the Santa Monica Pier, and we are up on the hill away from there. So I run all the way down from this restaurant, down across the Pacific Coast Highway, find them because, you know, I know what they look like. And plus, Jerry Mathers is wearing a blue sweater that says Beeve on it.
I mean, that's clever.
Yeah. And I tell them where they were supposed to meet, and it's just around the corner, but because of the hill and everything, they got to drive around. Jerry Mathers gets in his silver Porsche and drives up, and Ken Osmond says, "Hey, you want to ride, buddy?" And he called me Squirt. He didn't. No, he didn't. So I get in, he's got this old truck, and it's a pickup truck, and there's cigarette packs all over the top of it. And we have this conversation. He goes, "I haven't been to Malibu since the 60s or the 70s. He goes, "I was a cop and I was injured." And he was telling me the story, and he's just chain smoking the whole time. I run out of cigarettes, and he gave me a pack of Benson and Hedges.
You guys were like kindred spirits.
What's that?
I said, you guys were like kindred spirits.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's a cool dude. So I
always was an Eddie Haskell type.
What?
You always were an Eddie Haskell type.
Hey, Squirt. And then rest in peace to Richard Hurd, 87 years old, Mr. Wilhelm on Seinfeld. And a lot of people know him. If you watched V in the 1980s, he was Supreme Commander John. And what did he pass away of, Jeff?
Cancer.
So not COVID-19.
Yeah. Who was Mr. Wilhelm on Seinfeld?
Wasn't he the boss at the bra company?
Something like that, yeah.
He was one of George's bosses, right?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know who he
had a real Carl Malden look to him.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Well, rest in peace. All right. So we, the Ask Us Anything, we have a couple of questions here on our Patreon page at patreon.com/Tim Andrews. The first one is from Chris Cosentino, and he asks, "When Tim and Jeff kiss, whose beard tickles more?" And I was going to ask Ira for the answer to that.
Yeah. Oh, I can. I certainly have an opinion on that. When you and Jeff kiss, I'm going to say that Jeff tickles more.
You're right. You're right.
He's got a softer touch. He grows softer whiskers.
Mine are rough and coarse and man.
Yes.
Brett Perkins asks, "What is your favorite Kurt Russell movie?" I'll start with Ira.
Ooh, Kurt Russell movie. Gotta be. I know this is a cop out, but Escape from New York.
Jeff?
Yeah, I was going to say Escape from New York too, but I'll say Overboard.
Oh, that's a very good choice. I'm going to go with Tombstone.
I'm going to give an honorable mention to the Stuntman, the Tarantino thing.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's a great movie. The Grindhouse one, right? Death.
The Grindhouse thing, yeah.
Yeah,
that's right. I forget the name of it, but it was a good. That's the one where I shit myself in the movie theater.
And then he also paralleled that character in the new one, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
All right, so yes, that's true. Sean Hall asks. There's a question for Steph and I, so that one will have to wait. So I'll ask this one for Jeff, and then there's one for Ira too from Sean.
Really?
Yeah, but I'll pick the Jeff one first. Jeff, Tim's comedy doesn't seem to have very many boundaries. Has there ever been a point in your long relationship where you had to tell him to tone it down?
Fuck no.
When you opened for Bobcat that time.
I didn't open. I introduced him.
You asked Bob if you could do like 5 minutes when he introduced him. And Bob said yes. And you opened with a really horrible something about babies.
What?
I can't remember what it was, but it was the worst opening joke in like the history of comedy. Like, you immediately alienated everyone in the entire audience, and you didn't have time to try and dig yourself out of the hole. So it was just hilarious.
I said that my last relationship was sadder than a baby with AIDS. Well, I walked back and Bob looked at me and he went, "A baby with AIDS, huh?" There were only 10 people there. Dude.
Appreciate that.
I don't know. It was a pretty awful joke. Ira, if you could have a jam session with four musicians, alive or dead, who would it be? Why don't you just pick one if you can't do it quickly?
Jam session. Oh, shit. Hold on. Alive or dead? I'm going to pick Clapton. Not that I'm a huge Clapton fan,
right?
But I love his. If I was gonna like play some blues with somebody, I like to, because he appreciates the same guys that I appreciate, the old school guys.
Yeah,
and we would have similar song choices, and obviously Clapton would fucking be amazing.
I bet. Well, that's cool. And this is the last question real quick. Brett Perkins writes, what is the worst spoiler you have ever accidentally given on a movie or a show? And I think I've done it a million times and I've stopped doing it. So, but I think the most memorable to me is when Jeff and I were walking out of Batman in 1989.
Yeah.
Is that what it was called? I forget. Batman, right?
Right.
With Michael Keaton. It was the first one. We're walking out, and I think it was Jeff or who said it? You or me said, I can't believe they killed Batman. We walk out. It was opening night, and we walk out. I can't believe they killed Batman. And some guy freaked out and went, you just fucking ruined the movie for me and my kid. But he didn't really die, of course. But that was the funniest one.
So
didn't you and your buddies spoil that Harrison Ford movie where the wife did it?
No, I wanted to go see it. My friends went and saw it. My college roommates. I was working at a convenience store. They walked in, and the first thing Mark Gardner said to me was, "Oh, the wife did it."
Yeah,
and I went, "Okay, thank you." Well, yeah, that's what you should know. The wife did it. So if you haven't seen that movie, sorry.
Sorry, spoiler alert. The wife did it.
Yeah. Ira?
Well, no, I don't. I'm sitting here trying to think. I don't think I've ever really spoiled anything for anybody. I can't think of one.
Okay. Jeff?
My kids do it all the time. You know, they've watched something a zillion times. And I'm like, all right, I'll watch it with you. Like, oh, by the way, that guy's bad at the end.
Jeff's not a spoiler either. I used to spoil shit on the regular guy's show, and then people get really mad.
Oh, yeah. Well, you shouldn't do that. You should be a little more professional about the movie industry.
I like doing fake spoilers ever since Batman.
Yeah, fake spoilers are fun. It makes people mad, and then they're happy because, you know, you didn't really spoil it. So, guys, Ira, you got to wrap up shortly. Do we have time to do your game and then the other two things we need to do?
Well, that depends. Do you think our president has a little time to sit with us for a second? Or I think, yeah, we do.
What's the president going to do in your game?
Well, the president needs to do the game.
Oh.
I probably let him know.
Yeah, you didn't let the president know that he had to do the game.
I didn't?
No.
Do you think we could call him?
We probably could. Where is this game?
This game is in my hand right here.
Oh. So I don't need to read anything in his voice. You just want to talk to the president.
I just want to talk to the president for a second. Is that possible?
Well, I'm tweeting about Joe Scarborough right now and all the people he's killed, but go ahead.
Mr. President.
Mike Pence, if you went down to that cafe down by my work.
Nah, I don't care about Mike Pence. He's just a boring old GOP guy.
I thought you were going to say boring old Jew. I'm like, no, you got that one wrong.
No. He's like one of those old Midwestern, boring George Bush, you know, Tea Party type. Boring.
Well, Mr. President, do you remember last week when you were talking about being tested and the result that you got, and you were getting possibly a little confused for a second about whether...
Well, it was a very positive negative. Yes, I remember. It was a very positive negative. Yes. Go ahead. Why? Go ahead. What?
You sure? Well, I just wanted to kind of, you know, get back into that and play a game called positive, negative, or perfect.
All right.
If you knew the definitions of positive,
negative, or perfect. Okay, go ahead.
Or perfect. Okay, so I'll give you a sentence that will correlate with either the definition of something that's positive, negative, or perfect, and you have to guess which of these three things that I'm defining. Okay, positive, negative, or perfect. So, first one is having more. By the way, this is according to the Merriam-Webster dictionary. These are definitions. Okay, having more outgo than income, constituting a loss. What is that? Do you think that would be negative, positive, or perfect?
Negative.
I will say that it is positive because if you do that, you can write it off or file for bankruptcy and have other people pay for it.
Well, do you think you'd possibly say that it was positively negative? Because negative would be the right answer there, sir.
I would say it's positively negative, but there's a positive side to both negativity. I don't know.
All right. Well, you won that one, sir. You're always winning. Number two.
You're going to get tired of winning. I can tell you that.
Having more electrons than protons, would that be the definition of a negative ion, a positive ion, or a perfect ion, having more electrons than protons?
Negative ion, I believe.
Oh, very good, sir. I knew it. I knew you were very smart.
That's right.
You have a perfect brain, don't you?
I have a very, very perfect brain. I haven't done the voice in a while, so it's just serviceable today. Sorry.
Maybe you're, what, are you sure you tested negative?
Positively negative on that front.
Number three, the definition is expressed clearly or peremptorily. Do you think that would be positive, negative, or perfect?
Perfect.
No, perfect. The correct answer there, sir, is a positive, as in her answer was a positive no. Does this make sense?
Not at all. I did not do well in math.
All right, I'll do a few more here, sir.
Couple more, and then we're going to wrap it up.
I see. I you'll probably like this one. All right, the next one is the definition, sexually mature and fully differentiated. Is that perfect, negative, or positive?
Is that like saying there's grass in the field?
I think so. I think that's in the same realm, yes.
That would be a very positive. Hang on a second. I'm tweeting.
Okay.
1986, Joe Scarborough had sex with a dead priest in the back of a church. I think he killed the priest. And I think Mika urinated on the priest after he had sex with the dead priest. Send. Okay, what was your question?
I'm going to say, like Ivanka, it's perfect.
Ivanka, perfect. I'd date her.
Yeah, you guys are doing pretty good. You're doing good. You should keep this guy Jeff around, sir.
I like it. Yeah, he's fantastic. But first you have to take hydroxychloroquine. Are you willing to do that for 2 weeks?
I just drink fish tanks.
It's no, fun. That'll work.
All right. Let's do just like a couple more here. The next definition is directed or moving away from a source of stimulation. Directed or moving away from a source of stimulation, sir. Do you know anything about stimulation?
I know plenty about stimulation. In fact, I stimulate myself all day long on Twitter. Nancy Pelosi has a merkin made out of dead rat hair. Send.
Let's say you were moving away from the source of stimulation. You think that would be negative, positive, or perfect?
Negative.
Yeah, you are right. I knew it. I knew
that. Very, very, very stable genius. Thank you so much. Very stable. Very stable.
Is that one of those new cannibal rats?
Cannibal rats. The cannibal rats. They're going to be eating each other because there aren't enough. We need to open America up so our rats will stop eating each other. And so people will stop getting on Twitter and complaining about Jimmy Fallon. Yeah. Have you guys heard about that shit? Thank you, Ira. That was funny.
Sure.
Have you guys heard about Jimmy Fallon, his canceled party that went ape shit on Twitter?
I thought it was Jimmy Kimmel.
No, it was Jimmy Fallon because he did a bit on Saturday Night Live where it was a Regis and Kathy Lee thing from 2000. He was in black makeup and he did a Chris Rock impression, which was spot on.
Right.
And this is 20 years ago. And in that time, he had since become the host of The Tonight Show where Chris Rock has appeared multiple times.
Right.
But somebody discovered it and they want him fired and canceled and all that, but not Kimmel, not Jimmy Kimmel, who dressed up like Carl Malone and made him sound like a moron, or Howard Stern, who did it multiple times on his Channel 9 show. Those guys, they're not in any trouble. Right. For some reason you got to cancel Jimmy Fallon, which is stupid. I don't even watch Jimmy Fallon, but I just think this shit is stupid.
Cancel him.
He did something funny. You know, Eddie Murphy, wait till they find out Billy Crystal used to dress up like not only Muhammad Ali, but he did, you know, like the brain damaged Muhammad Ali, who just sat there and shook while in blackface and said horrible things like he was dumb.
He did Sammy Davis Jr. too.
Yeah, he did that a lot.
Yeah.
Did he do that at like the comedy, what was the comedy Live Aid? The
Comic Relief.
Comic Relief, yeah.
Did he do blackface in that as Sammy?
No, I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Well, they have a history of that. I mean, shit. What's his name? What's the guy from the Fred Armisen? He did President Obama at first, and they took that away from him. Thank God. Yeah. And then he also did that. Remember, New York State had that blind governor who took over after Elliot Spitzer got shit canned.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he did both of those guys.
I remember that.
So anyway,
Enough about that. Hey, guys, we are doing a new playlist. We are no longer doing the quarantine playlist. We have a brand new one, and we have a lot of submissions from people. It's the On the Road Again Summer Driving Spotify playlist, and we are going to be updating it every week for the summertime. And I'll read a couple of yours that you submitted to Patreon. We have Brian Jackson, who suggests The Sheepdog's Saturday Night. We have, let's see, Jethro Tull, Locomotive Breath. And Richard Cheese covering Gin and Juice. That comes from Brett Perkins. Roby Neely weighing in with Pat Benatar, Invincible. That's a good song to have with the windows down. R.E.M., It's the End of the World as We Know It. U2's New Year's Day. That is also a good driving song. Ah, here's one. Aaron Roberts says Vehicle by the Ides of March. Which
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, that was my go-to song for karaoke.
Yeah. Holland Doja Holland. Aaron Roberts writes Bullwinkle Part 2, The Centurions. It's a song Vincent drives after shooting up in Pulp Fiction. Iconic driving scene and a great nighttime driving song. Sean Hall, a Sturgill Simpson's, hang on a minute, Long White Line, which is a Sturgill Simpson song. You Can Have the Crown, Life Ain't Fair, and Never Go to Town Again. Those are awesome fucking songs. And he says in Shits for Giggles, the Gourds cover of Gin and Juice. Which is, I would say, a very good song to listen to anytime. Don't you think?
We had two people suggest that separately?
No.
Two different covers of Gin and Juice.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah. It's a great song, man.
I know, but that's pretty cool, though.
Yeah. Jeff, you want
to read Steph's while you're reading them.
All right. Here's Steph's. Hers are on a CDs that she still has. Bad Fish by Sublime. My Summer Vacation by Ice Cube. And Sidekick by Rancid. I'll read mine real quick. Chickamauga by Sunvolt. You like that tune?
I don't know. I like Sunvolt, but I'm not that familiar with them.
I love them. You either get Wilco. No, you don't get Wilco. You get Uncle Tupelo in there. I don't. That's not Sunvolt anyway. Sorry, I'm an idiot. That's Uncle Tupelo. Chickamauga. So anyway, scratch that. Same guy, but his original.
Right.
The Seeker by The Who, good tune.
That's always great.
And Hell in a Bucket by The Grateful Dead.
Yeah, that's summertime.
Jeff?
I did On the Road Again, since it's On the Road Again playlist.
Yes.
By Willie Nelson. And then my other two were...
Right on the nose, Jeff.
Yep, on the nose. My other two were California by Phantom Planet. Remember that song?
Yeah, that's a great song.
Yeah.
From the OC, right?
Yeah, it was the theme song from the OC. And another theme song, I guess, Holiday Road from Lindsey Buckingham from Vacation. Yeah,
great tune.
I always love that.
Ira?
What did I put? Oh, I put the Sharon Jones and the Dab Kings version of This Land Is Your Land. You guys ever hear that?
I have, yeah.
Yeah, and if you haven't, it opens up the movie Thank You for Not Smoking.
Mm-hmm. I love that movie.
Yeah, well, it's a killer funky R&B version of This Land Is Your Land. I just thought of driving cross country, so I put that on there. What did I put second?
Sunny by Bobby Heeb.
Oh yeah. You would know that tune. That's a good another good drive in summertime tune. And then I just put Reelin' in the Years. Everybody knows it, but man, if I'm in my car and that tune is on, it's just like nice.
Nice. Nice. All right, so we don't have a lot more time left on today's show. Next week, we'll regroup with everybody. And I want to wait and talk about what we do in the shadows when the season's finished, kind of do a recap episode, if you guys are into that. You're watching that now, right, Ira?
Yeah, but I'm not that far in.
Right.
I'm still in one.
How about Snowpiercer? Did you guys both watch that?
I didn't.
You didn't. I watched this week's. We'll talk more about that next week, too.
You were digging it. Is it still good?
I still like it, yeah. I like it.
Jim, did you watch Grant?
No. On History Channel? I haven't watched it, no. I don't really like History Channel documentaries, but you said it was good?
It's based on that book that came out a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. The first one was good. I mean,
What about
Ulysses S. Grant.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense.
Your buddy Tecumseh shows up in there a little.
Oh, I can't. That's why I couldn't watch it.
I didn't know they all went to West Point together.
Yeah, and Grant was a shitty student.
Yeah. They get into that pretty big time in the first episode.
Yeah, and Lee, they all went, like the Southern generals were there too.
Yeah. Yep. So I'm saying Robert E. Lee, Ulysses S. Grant.
Yep.
Sherman, they're all at West Point together.
I'll watch that. What's that on?
History Channel. Started last night. It's a 3-night miniseries.
Well, let's see. I'll just tell you the one thing I recommend, and then I'll give you my staff pick. I recommend Robert Heinlein's Stranger in a Strange Land. Have you guys ever read that book?
I did when I guess I was in high school or maybe early college. And I'll tell you what, I still think about that book every once in a while.
It stuck with me. Jeff, if you read it, I would think it's something you would have read.
I haven't read it. I know it from the Billy Joel song.
Yeah, it's this guy was like a pop sci-fi author in the 50s and 60s. And a lot of his work is credited as being like, you know, much like, you know, the launching pad for a lot of different types of genres, right? Just like the guy that did Blade Runner, whoever wrote that. What's his name? I forget off the top of my head.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
You know who I'm talking about. And he did Man in the High Castle. And I can't think of his name for whatever reason. But you know who I am talking about, huh?
Not Ray Bradbury. It's not Isaac Asimov. One of those other big guys, right?
I was hoping that Jeff would know off the top of his head. Now I feel stupid, and I'm losing all any nerd cred I have. But Robert Heinlein wrote a whole shitload of books, so I have a bunch of them queued up to listen to. But that one's really cool. It's about a guy that was a human being that was born en route to Mars, raised by Martians, came back to Earth, discovered that he had a lot of powers because of his time with the Martians. And there's a lot more to it than that. It's socio, it's pop culture. It's certainly pre-60s thinking. That led to the 60s, right? Hippiedom.
Yeah.
And my staff pick is the Mr. Plinkett's Star Trek Picard review. Mr. Plinkett, of course, the guy from Red Letter Media. And he just spends about 90 minutes tearing it to pieces. And I love that. I love takedown videos of things that I once loved that have been ruined. So there you go.
I like Picard.
I know a lot of people do. I don't hate it, but I think it's funny. Who wants to go next? Jeff?
And my staff pick was just that Netflix and chilled Ben and Jerry's ice cream.
Yes, it's good.
It's peanut ice cream, which is the best. The best.
The best.
Peanut butter. And then it's got brownie batter and different stuff swirled into it. But the ice cream itself, just the peanut butter ice cream is the best.
I mean, look, have you ever tasted any Ben and Jerry's and said, this is not good? I mean, come on.
Oscar the Grouch's green boogers and snot. That one was pretty bad. It was real green boogers and snot.
Stuff Ben and Jerry's not in their basket.
So was that it, Jeff?
What?
Yeah, Netflix and chilled Ben and Jerry's. Look for it.
All right, Ira?
We talked about the Mandalorian Gallery episode 4, so that was my thing. But I was going to recommend as a staff pick, Homecoming season 2 is on Amazon Prime now. Mm-hmm. And you remember, didn't we all watch it the first season?
I listened to the podcast, but I never watched the first season of the show.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's executive produced by Sam Esmail, who did Mr. Robot. And Julia Roberts was in the first one. And season 2, Janelle Monáe is like the main character. And you know, she's nice to look at, and it seems interesting so far, and they're continuing the story that they set up in season 1. So
I wondered if season 2 was a standalone or if it continued the story from the first
season. Well, I was wondering that too, but so far it seems like it's not all new characters, but it's new main characters.
Right.
And I watched 2 episodes so far. They're short. And so I'm getting into that. Hello, Tim.
I we didn't hear anything you just said.
Me?
Yeah.
You're dead.
Yeah.
Shit.
Anyway, all right. Well, what's your staff pick?
Mine?
Yeah.
It's a Homecoming season 2.
Homecoming season 2. All right. Well, next week we will start doing our controversial proclamations because I want Steph to be here for that. Okay. We each have one. Mine will carry over Yours will carry over, and I'll probably will finish the book by then because I'm going on a road trip. We could talk more about Woody Allen and his new novel, which is called what? Apropos of Nothing.
Apropos of Nothing, which, yeah, man, I loved it, and that could be controversial, so we'll talk about that.
Yeah, and Jeff, do you mind waiting for that?
No, that's fine. I didn't have a good one anyway.
Well, you don't know that. Could have led to an argument.
Yeah.
Oh, you're just mad that it wasn't about Shauna Grant. Okay. Well, she's been dead for a couple of weeks. A couple thousand weeks. All right. Well, guys, I know this was a short episode, a short podcast, and hopefully the new normal will become a different new normal and we can get back to doing things that sound good and look good.
When are you going to go back to the studio?
I don't know yet. I'm thinking about going back in mid-June, but I there's no hurry for us to get back to doing the radio show anytime soon. And our company is doing one of those slow roll-ins, you know, certain people go in first, then other people roll in. There's no hurry. And we have to, everybody is waiting to see 2 weeks from Memorial Day what happens. If there's millions of cases, then, you know, we just go back to living in shutdown land. But if there isn't, then everything gets back to doing what it is. I don't know. We'll see. But at any rate, doing the show like this is fun, but I would like to be back in a studio and where we can actually, talk to each other face to face. But so we'll record again over the weekend. This show drops Wednesday. So if you're listening to it, it's already dropped. So who gives a shit, right? I'm rambling, but thank you guys very much. And Ira, thanks for doing it from your job. And we'll talk to you guys next week. So keep it canon.